Hi, small town fam. It's Yardley.
And Zibby.
And Dan.
And Dave.
Sergeant Dave.
Sergeant Dave.
Yes, I've been promoted, and now I'm back on the streets as a watch commander.
Woot woot. Watch out, small town USA.
Seriously.
I'm going to be writing a lot of cheap tickets. You know me.
Welcome to the minisodes.
This particular minisode features the Proust questionnaire.
What is that, Kitty?
Well, Kitty, it's a questionnaire that was popularized by the writer and poet Marcel Proust. You know, your bedside reading.
Yeah, my old pal.
Although he didn't invent it, he was a big fan of it, and he felt that if people answered these questions, it would reveal their true nature.
Oh.
And then Vanity Fair magazine brought it back to the mainstream by putting the questionnaire on its back page every month. So we thought it would be fun if the small town team played this iconic parlor game.
The rules that we made up for ourselves were that we would answer the questions one at a time. So Logan, our senior editor, say hello, Logan.
Hello.
Could ask us each of these questions while the rest of us were out of the room. And then we promised we wouldn't share our answers with each other until Logan had edited them all together, and we sat down to listen to them as a group for the very first time.
Which is right now.
Let's do this.
I'm excited.
I can tell.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Perfect happiness would be where stress is at an absolute minimum and I am surrounded by those who are most important to me, preferably in an environment where there's white sand, palm trees, and an ocean breeze nearby.
For me, perfect happiness is being content with everything that I have and having someone to share it with.
Perfect happiness is nothingness. No thing, nowhere to be, no one to be, no obligations, no thing, nothing.
Sunday afternoon, on the porch, looking out at the garden at my house.
Dave, yes, I will join you on a sandy beach. I know I'm one of your VIPs.
Mm-hmm. I made that sound like a haiku. I'm kicking myself here.
No, none of that.
I sound like a wannabe philosopher, and everyone else sounds like they're like, I enjoy soft music and long walks on the beach.
What is your greatest fear?
Disappointing those that I care the most about.
Not doing something I had the opportunity to do.
Avoiding failure. The idea that I would have spent any amount of time avoiding failure by not doing.
Not doing well. Well, I think we're all in agreement. We don't want to disappoint the people that we care about.
I can throw heights and snakes in there, too.
Yeah, same, for sure.
What is the trait you most deplore in yourself?
Maybe being over-trusting, and that certainly doesn't apply in my professional environment because I'm always questioning where somebody's coming from and what their agenda is. But in my personal life, I've probably been more trusting than someone deserves.
I'm very hard on myself, and sometimes I dwell in regret a little bit.
I most deplore this innate trait I feel like I came into the world with, which is the instinct or desire to please people.
Self-criticism. I can be so critical that I paralyze myself.
Well, this is a very deep group.
It's pretty deep. It's pretty intense. Well, I think we'd all be really compatible if we lived together for the rest of our lives.
Or not.
Or not. We're all too much alike.
We might try to kill each other, actually.
Yeah, I actually could see. I could see that turning into like a true crime.
Boo, that hurts my heart.
No.
What is the trait you most deplore in others?
Dishonesty. 100% dishonesty.
Selfishness. And lack of accountability.
When people try to please people. Hate it.
False modesty. You can always tell the difference, I think, when somebody is genuinely humble and when they feel like I'm going to pretend to be humble, but I'm really not. It's fueled by an arrogance.
Yeah, we don't like fake people.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, doing all of those things we all listed diminish the other's value. So like if you're lying or you're being falsely modest or you're trying to people please, you're actually devaluing and underestimating the other person in whatever way.
And you called yourself out. You're a people pleaser.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, I hate people pleasers.
At least I'm being accountable.
Yeah.
I didn't find any of your answers genuine.
Oh my God, get okay. away from me.
Which living person do you most admire?
Probably my parents. I'd hate to put it on one specific person. I admire my dad for the way he raised my brother and I. Character, honesty, integrity. He's just a good man. If I could be half the man that he is, I'd consider life a success. My mom endures. She is a strong woman. She sticks to her guns. She has great integrity and is able to fit in with anybody I bring around her. She's just an agile person. I've got some great parents, and that certainly includes my stepmother as well. I have good people in my life.
I'd say it's a tie between my father and my mother.
My stepfather, hands down.
Which living person do I most admire? I guess one of my first thoughts was Helen Mirren, the actress. Well, clearly I am the outlier. I was raised by wolves, and I grew up watching this English actress going, I want to be like that.
She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Regarding Dave and I's answer, I didn't mention my stepmom, but the dynamic we had growing up was my mother and my stepmother got along, and it was like a partnership on how they were going to raise us, along with my dad. And we're so very fortunate. It was a game plan, like we're all in this together and we're going to get it done.
I love that. I am really fortunate to have like an amazing stepfather. He never overinserted himself, but he has been invested, interested, curious, unconditional in his supportiveness. It's pretty amazing. And here's a little fun fact. I was in theater as a kid, and he was a director at a community theater play. And I came home from rehearsal, and I was like, Mom, I think I've met one of my favorite adults. You have to have him over for dinner. She's like, you're being dramatic. And then he came over for dinner.
And that's how he became your stepdad?
I mean, yeah, so I'd like to think I picked him.
That's phenomenal.
But he was like from the get. I was like, this is a grown up I can get behind. I was like, I like this guy.
What a great story.
What is your greatest extravagance?
Scotch and a boat.
Golf shoes.
My greatest extravagance. If I take a day where I don't answer emails, that feels extremely extravagant, which is sad. I'm going to book tickets somewhere extravagant right after this.
Sometimes I treat myself to full service at the gas station. Let somebody else pump my gas.
Kitty, we're pitiful.
It's true. I feel like, you know, I grew up being so, everything, I'm so hyper independent. So when I go to the full service gas station, which is not a requirement in Los Angeles, in California, as it is in some states, it really feels like an enormous luxury.
We need to get some lives.
We do. And how about Imelda Marcos over here?
Oh, with his shoes?
With the golf shoes. I love that.
I mean, you got to complete the outfit.
What is your current state of mind?
We're here today doing podcasts, and all I can think about is my caseload. So sometimes these podcasts feel a little bit like work and a therapy session at the same time, because I get to vent some of the things that bother me. But at the same time, in the background, I've got this looping track of what do I need to do at work.
Confused right now doing this test. This is tough.
Currently, my mind is in a little bit of a tug of war between a sense of obligation to many things and the desire to just unobligate myself to everything. Just tug of war, to worry or not to worry. Yeah.
My current state of mind is worry. I'm a terrible worrier. I always have been.
God, I hate listening to this.
It's intense. And we worry a lot. We carry a lot of obligation, this crew.
Yeah.
Sometimes to a fault. Not always a bad thing, but...
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier if we didn't care.
Real good talk.
On what occasion do you lie?
It's rare. Certainly in my line of work, there are times where I will lie to a suspect, implying that I have more information or evidence than I have. So lying is a tactic in my world. Certainly in my personal life, I try to be as honest as I can because I have a guilty conscience and lying to people would keep me up at night.
I try not to lie, especially in this job. I've had to lie on occasion in this job, but I don't think it's ever been unethical the way I've lied. Maybe bluffed people into thinking that I may have had more than I really had. I think that it's okay to lie in those situations when you're really trying to get to the truth.
I will lie when I feel as though a person is fishing for something in a moment, an answer, for example, that they need more than they need the truth. So it's usually a white lie for the greater good. I mean, that sounds really altruistic. I mean, there are times, you know, where my assessment of the greater good is probably more about my greater good, but yeah, I try not to lie.
I lie a little bit all the time, it seems. I lie to protect other people's feelings.
We're all so scared of each other now. You guys can hide behind your job. You're like, yeah, for crime. And we're like, well.
Anyway, just for life.
I'm kind of always lie. Try not to, but.
What do you most dislike about your appearance?
I'm not as fit as I used to be. I've had a few surgeries over the years, and I'm not nearly as fit as I was, say, in my college and a few years post-college days. So I could work on my health.
I'm a little heavier than I want to be, that's for sure. I wish I had the square chin like I used to, but over the years I've gained a little weight in the neck.
What I most dislike about my appearance is that my appearance is so confrontational to my ideas of appearance. And so my appearance just is a constant invitation or confrontation of where my sense of value lies. So sometimes I don't want to be confronted with that. Sometimes I don't want to have to think about my appearance at all. So, next question.
My thighs. You're so esoteric, Kitty.
I annoy myself. Like, also, I just got out of pointing out the things about myself that I really, really, really hate. So, by the way, because most people haven't seen Dan or Dave, and so it's really funny to hear back and forth, like, well, I'm not as fit as I'd like to, well, I'm a little heavier than I mean, just for the listeners, you guys are pretty damn hot, and you're in great shape. You're just not where you want to be. You've both been very athletic all your life, so your standards for, you know, fit are higher than the average person.
That's the thing, is I go back to the college where I played baseball, and I see former teammates and coaches, and they look at me and they're like, what happened to you? And I'm like, well, life caught up with me.
I got a job.
Yeah, you guys injured me, so now it hurts to work out and weights are heavy. So I will say this, from detective back to being on patrol again, I fit into the same uniform I was in back in 2012.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Go, Dave.
It fits a little different.
You got a constant wedgie or what?
But yeah, I mean, it looks like my butt's eating my pants, but I squeezed into them.
Your pants are so tight, you can see your butt hair through them.
Yeah, you can count the change in my back pocket.
God.
My God.
What is the quality you most like in a man?
Honestly, loyalty. Somebody who I know is going to be there and have my back, and I don't have to worry about their integrity or honesty or where they're coming from.
Probably honesty and loyalty, both of those.
I like a lot about a man, but I really appreciate the quality of curiosity,
humor, and honesty, even if it hurts.
Yes, twins.
Yeah, twins. Basically the same answer, just the words reversed.
We got the same wiring here. There's times where we finish each other's sentences, so.
That's adorbs.
Totes adorbs.
What is the quality you most like in a woman?
Honesty. Knowing where they're coming from and that you can trust that what they're telling you is the truth and how they feel.
Again, honesty and loyalty, for sure.
I really appreciate the quality of curiosity in a woman. I mean, it goes both ways. I'm not very sex specific in that. I think curiosity opens doors and answers closes them. So when there's curiosity, there's room for deeper understanding, evolution, you name it.
I would say humor and kindness. That's it. I'm very laconic.
Good word.
I know what that means, Dan. I know what that means.
Hey, Siri. Just kidding. Oh, my God. What does laconic mean?
Laconic means of a person, speech, or style of writing using very few words.
Thanks, Siri.
Well, obviously the qualities you look for in a human being aren't necessarily gender specific.
True. Good people are good people.
That is right.
Which words or phrases do you most overuse?
I think I say so on this podcast a lot, and I start sentences with so, and I always think to myself, ah, you just did it again.
Since I've listened to so many episodes, I feel like I say like a lot, and it bothers me. I hate listening to it.
I feel, I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
and amazing, and what is that?
I would throw amazing in there for myself as well. I overuse that word. Is everything that amazing? No. Almost nothing is amazing, and I say it all the time. It's obnoxious.
Lieutenant Scott says intuit a lot. And I don't think I'd ever used that word before I heard his episodes on sociopath.
Yeah. That's true. I was also thinking that all of us said like. We say like too much and use it in a bridging sort of way. And I actually think that's generational. I have never in my life heard my mother use the word like except to express a preference for something.
When and where were you happiest?
For me, it was playing baseball in the summer, having a very limited focus on what I needed to do and playing the game that I love around and with great guys.
Right now, I'm very content with my life. I hearken back to my early 20s and I was playing professional baseball and that was a great time in my life, but I wouldn't trade anything for where I am now.
My happiness is tied to one of my first answers, which is no thing.
On stage, in a play, pretty much any play.
Do you guys think I'm deep or what?
You are so esoteric. you could teach philosophy, Kitty.
I'd like to.
I think your non-responsive answers are more an indication of a lack of depth.
Great.
Which talent would you most like to have?
A short game in golf.
I wish I could play a musical instrument, piano or guitar.
I want to be so profoundly proficient in an instrument like the fiddle or the banjo or the piano. I wish.
I would like to be a professional athlete. An Olympic athlete. I think I always thought I would like to be a runner. I hate running.
Dan, Dave, I have a question. Do you guys like golf?
Well, a little bit. I like wearing the shoes.
That's true. Kitty, you're already a really incredibly talented musician.
I'm not at all. I just learned how to play the ukulele on YouTube, and I took the piano as a kid. But if I understood how to truly write music and just play around, and I love the fiddle and the banjo so much, I'd be complete. It's a big regret.
Yeah. You have room for a banjo in your one-man show, Logan?
Always.
All right.
I'm on it.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
To me, the most rewarding moments of my life are focused on getting justice for the sex abuse victims that I've advocated for. Those are the times where I've felt the greatest sense of satisfaction with all the work that I've put in. So putting bad guy away and seeing how that impacts a child that suffered at the hands of this bad person, those are the most satisfactory moments of my life so far.
I think for me personally, my greatest achievement has been spending 39 years looking for someone who filled all those holes in my soul and not settling for someone prior to that and finally finding that person. I think that's my greatest achievement.
My greatest achievement is the repetition of continuing to show up as opposed to backing away from in the name of trying to avoid failure. So it's a great achievement for me to just do, no matter where I end up, because it's excruciatingly vulnerable and scary to just make stuff, and I'm constantly making stuff. And I feel like at the end of the day, at the end of my life, I might say, wow, good job, Zibby. Just to be doing it feels like a huge achievement.
My greatest achievement, perhaps, is a singular focus. I see something, I decide I want to achieve that thing, and then I go toward it.
What a variety of answers. I hate mine. I love all of yours.
Why do you hate yours?
I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about yours. Like, Dave, like, wins because he's just the superhero.
He really is.
Dan, that was the most romantic shit I've ever heard.
Indeed.
And Kitty, this is something I know about you, and it's one of your superpowers. You decide on something, you go after it, and you get it.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I feel like I don't always get it, but I do always go after it, and there's something to be said for that, I suppose.
Where would you most like to live?
It would be in the Caribbean, with limited cell phone service or none at all, with a beach bar nearby, and the ability to walk from my back porch and be in the water within 100 yards.
I love Scottsdale, Arizona. I love the desert, but Scottsdale's got it all. Spring training baseball, golf courses, hiking, great weather. It gets hot in the summer, but I really like hot weather.
Somewhere in nature near a lake. You know what I mean? There's one of my phrases that I use a lot.
Somewhere by the sea.
Can I have Dave's answer?
I know.
And I thought about it more, and I was like, actually, I want to live on the water in a yacht a lot like Tiger Woods, where if I walk off my back porch, I'm swimming.
You're swimming.
Yes.
Fair enough.
What is your most treasured possession?
My dog. I love my dog. My dog's kind of my ability to de-stress. Every night I go in and she makes me forget about all the stuff that I've dealt with during the day. She's just kind of a beacon of joy and happiness in my life.
My greatest possession that I have is my last name. Material possession is probably a league championship ring from minor league baseball. I really treasure that.
Nothing. I love that I don't have a possession per se that I treasure. I don't like to hang on to things.
My cats. Do you think they'd be mad I consider them my possessions? Oh, God.
Zibby, we get it. You're a philosopher.
We're borderline emo here.
It's so embarrassing to go back and hear this, like, so many no things.
Can I have your laptop?
Yeah, I don't care about it. It's nothing to me.
What do you most value in your friends?
Consistency. And part of that is their loyalty and their friendship and their ability and comfort with being completely honest with me when they have feedback or criticisms of me that they feel safe enough to tell me and critique me. We give each other plenty of ribbing, but I certainly have friends that if my world were to go to shit, that I could make a call and they would say, "Where do I meet you?"
My friends, they're always honest with me.
Unconditional care.
Compassion. I think basically we all want the same thing from the people that we allow to get close to us. Honesty and kindness and loyalty.
Just don't be an asshole.
That could be a tall order.
What is your greatest regret?
There's one occasion, and I won't get into the specifics, but where I was dishonest with a close friend back in college, and I made a bad decision one night and to look in the mirror and realize what I had done is probably the most disappointed in myself I've ever been.
My greatest regret is not learning from a prior mistake and making the same mistake again.
Not sticking with the violin. Seriously, like, it bums me out monthly. And I've lived a lot of months in my life. And I stopped learning the violin when I was like 8, so that's a long, that's a long time. I could have just picked it up. Like, I don't know why I'm not. Smash cut to me just being a violinist a year from now. I wish.
I've done some things in my life that have benefited other people that I thought would make me feel better about myself, and it didn't work. And ultimately, it hurt me.
I mean, as if our listeners didn't already have massive crushes on Dan and Dave, I feel like all this honesty talk, and Dave being like, the one regret I have is like a lie I told a friend in college.
That's true. You're going to get a lot of love letters, Dave.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Ah, you don't need to.
I got a little blush going on.
How would you like to die?
I'd like to die doing what I love, and that's police work. If I was to die in the line of duty, and this sounds melodramatic, but there are occasions where the hair on your neck stands up and you think something bad could happen right here. Soldiers and warriors talk about a glorious death or something that was worthwhile, but I'd like to be fighting for something. And I'd like my demise to have meant something to not only myself, but preferably in standing up for what I thought was right, justice, a victim, something like that, where I'm standing in between evil and good people.
It's weird to think about because I've had occasion where I thought, especially in law enforcement, you might not be here in a half hour, depending on how things go. So you make peace with yourself. So I can't say that there's a perfect way for me to die. Hopefully I'll be next to someone that I care about and I won't be alone and it won't be painful. So anything other than that, I think is okay. Being next to someone I want and not being in pain, I think I can handle everything.
I don't know. I mean, I know how I would like to not die, which is painfully so abruptly that I don't get to have a moment. You know, ideally, I'm not burning alive or being choked to death or, you know, dying in a way that's so early that the people whom I love and who care about me don't feel left behind and having to wade through some sort of traumatic event. So as long as my death doesn't cause any harm or trauma to others, that then I'm not too picky.
Peacefully. And quickly. Yeah. I think one of the most interesting, unexpected aspects of that question is you, Dan and Dave, doing what you do. Of course, you would come to it with a completely different kind of perspective. You've stared that moment down before, whereas Zibby and I, although, you know, we both had our podcasts where we were in peril, pretty bad situation, but not where I actually thought this could be the moment.
Yeah, you get inoculated to stressful situations so much that when an officer does come across a situation where he says, "I was afraid I was going to die," that's particularly poignant to me when I hear that. Those are incredible moments in law enforcement. I know that.
Dave knows of a situation where I had where I had a gun pointed at me and I had no idea it was a gun pointing at me. Otherwise, I would have acted differently. That's a really sobering thought afterward. Like, holy shit. I could have just got smoked right there and I had no idea. It's a hard thing to deal with, but at the same time, you feel really alive after that. Anybody who's been a cop for a length of time has had that moment where they say, "I might die today."
Amazing. What an interesting game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a fun polygraph.
Small Town Dicks is produced by Zibby Allen and Yardley Smith and co-produced by Detectives Dan and Dave.
This episode was edited by Logan Heftel, Yardley Smith, and Zibby Allen.
Music for the show was composed by John Forrest. Our associate producer is Aaron Gaynor, and our books are cooked and cats wrangled by Ben Cornwell.
If you like what you hear and want to stay up to date with the show, head on over to smalltowndicks.com and become our pal on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Small Town Dicks. We love hearing from our small town fam, so hit us up.
Yeah, and also we have a YouTube channel where you can see trailers for past and forthcoming episodes. And we're part of Stitcher Premium now.
That's right. If you choose to subscribe, you'll be supporting our podcast. That way, we can keep going to small towns across the country and bringing you the finest in rare true crime cases, told, as always, by the detectives who investigated them. Thanks for listening, small town fam.
Nobody's better than you.